I'd like to ask you a question. Anybody here been interrupted this week? Have you been interrupted this week? You were really doing something, you were focused on something, and you were interrupted. Think about how that made you feel. It's one of the most frustrating things when you come down to it, you know? I know how I am, and I don't think I'm that different from most people. I think probably it's a common reaction. When we meet interruptions in life, we tend to get a little bit of frustrated about it, and it's not a pleasant thing. I don't know. In fact, I don't think I know of anybody who loves to be interrupted. How often have you heard it said, "Don't interrupt me"? You get so focused, you know. You know where you're headed. You know where you're going. And those interruptions that come, they're frustrating. They're nerve-wracking. And they just kind of get you off your even keel, you know. And you're just kind of, you get frustrated. And you don't want to, well, we all experience that now, don't we? You know, as I was reading to the Word this week and studying and it occurred to me that oftentimes we are confronted with interruptions in the daily routine of life, and it's not for no reason at all. I would call them divine interruptions. Divine interruptions. And I want to just touch on that subject this morning with you for a few moments that we have together. I wonder, how do you handle them? You know, the unexpected. The unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unplanned that touch our lives from time to time. Dr. George Wood, he serves as the superintendent of the Assemblies of God and a wonderful man of God, very scholarly person. He's taught in our universities and colleges and served as a he serves now as the general superintendent for the Assemblies of God. And in his latest book entitled Road Trip Leadership, he gave a little insight into some of the thoughts that are there. It's going to be released shortly here. He states that these are the three things you can expect out of your life or ministry. He said the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unplanned. Nobody gets a free pass, folks. It happens. It happens every. It doesn't make any difference what station in life you're at either. It doesn't make any difference where you live, how much money you have, what position you have. It happens to all of us. The unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unplanned. He points that out. He says you can expect that, especially if you're involved in ministry of some sort or another, or you're a Christian striving to do the will of God in your life. It happens to all of us. You know, God uses divine interruptions to get our attention and to get us moving on the right track. I found that out. And sometimes we need this. He does it on various levels. He does it to mankind in general. And I mentioned earlier how it's. I was thinking of all the events. In fact, one channel, news channel, did a series of all the calamitous things that are happening around the world, things that are out of the ordinary. They're certainly unexpected. And these disasters, most of them are chaotic, and the disasters that are happening. So sometimes it's God's, these interruptions, God is dealing with mankind in general. And sometimes God does it with nations. Think of certain nations that just recently seems almost like they've been singled out, and all of a sudden they're dealing with some great unexpected event, an interruption of sorts. He not only does it with mankind in general and nations, but he does it with groups. Certain groups face it. A church has a crisis that it's faced with, or a business has a crisis that it's faced with. And you know what? It happens with individuals too. So God does it, I believe, on different levels. These things happen to us, and oftentimes, maybe not every single time, but in many instances, these are divine interruptions. Let's take a look at the life of Christ. There are certain There are several, in fact, examples of these interruptions in the ministry of Christ. You say, what? Christ, the Son of God, being interrupted? Oh, well, yeah, it's there. Believe it or not, it's there. Reverend Ray Rachels, who served for a number of years as the superintendent of the Assemblies of God for Southern California, he was having a Bible study one time, and Dr. Wood was there, and Dr. Wood relates this. He said that he made some statements there that were rather provocative. He noted that none of the miracles in Jesus' ministry were on his schedule for that day. Isn't that interesting? None of the miracles that Jesus performed were on his schedule. It's not like he got up in the morning and said, well, it's time to get up. I got a 10 o'clock appointment. I got to heal somebody. Oh, 4 o'clock this afternoon, you know, I'm going to work a miracle. I'm going to break some bread, and I'm going to multiply it. That's not the way it worked, folks. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was doing what he normally did. And what did he do? He went and he taught. He basically was like an itinerant preacher. He would go around and he would teach and preach and tell people about the kingdom of God. He was revealing the kingdom of God to people. Reverend Rachel said that all of his miracles were unplanned. But what provided the opportunity for his miracles? It was interruptions. Think about it. If you go to Mark's gospel, in the beginning of the chapter, we have, there are several in the fifth chapter of Mark as an example you could turn to. But I think of the demoniac. You remember the occasion? Notice, they're in a boat. They come to the other side of the sea, Mark's gospel, chapter 5, verse 1. Into the country of the Gerasenes. And notice what it says in verse 2. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately, he's just getting out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. You read the following verses there and you get the whole story about it all, how he brought deliverance. He's just going across the sea and all of a sudden the boat is on dry ground. They're getting out of the boat and immediately, just like that, out of nowhere. Interruption? Yes, interruption. So we have the story, a wonderful story, what happened in that exchange between Jesus and this man who was tormented and the deliverance that eventually came to him. You read further on down through the chapter, not only do you have this incident, but you have the healing of Jairus' daughter. And this is an interesting one too. It says in verse 21, and when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered around him, and he stayed by the seashore, and one of the synagogue officials named Jairus comes up, and upon seeing him, fell at his feet and entreated him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may get well and live. Just all of a sudden out of the crowd, this man comes up and makes this request of Christ. And then it says in verse 24, and he went off with him, and a great multitude was following him and pressing in on him. Here are all these people waiting to see Jesus, and all of a sudden, unexpected request comes up, an interruption into the regular routine. Man comes and makes this request. Jesus could have said, well, you know, look at all these people. I can't really put off. You know, what I have to say to these people is very important. Look, there are thousands of them. A multitude of people are here. I'm sure that's important for you, but maybe we better hold off on that a little bit. I really have got to get this done. I believe I'm called here for a reason. I've got to get this done. He could have been so focused and still maybe worked this request in later. You know, don't worry. He's Jesus, you know. What difference does it make if you delay Jesus? I mean, he could come some other time. Isn't it interesting, though, that he met the need of the individual? He didn't rely just on his powers. He could have said, well, listen, I'll take care of that later on. Don't worry about it. Your child will be healed. He could have done that. It says immediately he left with a man. Divine interruption? It appears to be. The interesting thing is with the next example that you find here in this passage is an interruption of an interruption. Because it's while he's now making his way, he's getting ready, he's going, and in just a few moments, while he's already made that decision. He's going to go with this man. He's going to minister to the needs of this man's daughter. We read about something else in verse 25 of Mark's 5th chapter there in that gospel. It says, and a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him. See, part of the multitude. She's part of that multitude that's following him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Now at that moment, you know what could have happened? Jesus could have just kept walking. He could have ignored it. Why, I've got to minister to this multitude, but I'm taking this request because I feel it's urgent. Now I'm going because we have to minister to this girl who's in desperate need. He could have just kept walking. But we get this again. Isn't it interesting? We get a similar reference to his actions in this moment. It says in verse 30, and immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? I don't think he said it for his benefit. I think he said it for the woman's benefit. He wanted to point out that he knew. What someone would say, why, all in this crowd, look at all the people. They're all crowding around you. He knew immediately, and it was specific. There was a divine interruption right there, and immediately he turned. And for the sake of that woman, he asked that question. He wanted her to know that he knew. He knew of her faith. He knew what had happened in her life. And he was going to speak life. He was going to share something that would help that woman in her faith from that moment on in her life. An interruption of an interruption for a divine purpose. You know, some of us, we probably wouldn't fit too well in the scenario here, you know. If called upon, and we were the ones that were called upon to follow in the footsteps of Christ and to face what he faced and to have all these obligations and all these intents that he had, and then all of a sudden for there to be an interruption like that, I wonder how we would handle that. I'm not so sure I could handle it like Jesus did. Divine interruption. Focus. Yes, he was focused. He had purpose in mind, directed, and then in a moment of time, an interruption. You see, we usually see interruptions as distractions that hinder and serve as impediments that keep us from following through on the plans we've made. Isn't that true? Don't you usually look at it that way? An interruption, that's the attitude we have. You see, that's why we say what we say. That's why we react the way we react. We see interruptions as being something bad. They're negative. We don't see them from heaven's balcony. We don't see them that way. We see them through our own tunnel vision, so to speak. And so we get irritated and we get frustrated and we don't value divine interruptions oftentimes the way God wants us to see it. We tend to view unexpected interruptions of our daily activity as aggravations. Oh, that really gets me aggravated. Oh. Aggravated. Take a look at another example, a great example. Well-known story. But it illustrates so well what we're talking about here today with respect to divine interruptions. It's that example we have of the Samaritan. You find it in Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, where I'm reading from this morning, and it's the 30th verse. And let me just rehearse again a little bit with you the events here so that you can see what I'm talking about. Jesus replied and said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Well, don't be too hard on him, because you see, I mean, he might have had a real important appointment that day. It might have been that it was his time to be involved in daily sacrifice. It might have been that it was his occasion to maybe be involved in some teaching or some kind of official business. I mean, after all, he was a religious person. He's a priest. He's walking down the road, and there are very important things that must be done. And so, I mean, it's a tragic thing to see that man lying by the road, but I know what he's saying. He's thinking, you know, if I stop now and I go over and inquire, I don't know if he might be dead, but that would probably be a good thing, because then I could just keep going. But if he's not dead, then that means, I mean, I'm a priest. I've got to do something, and it's going to tie me up. I don't think I can afford it. It's time for me. I'm late as it is. I'm just going to walk on the other side. And hey, you know, he's over there. I'm over here. And it's none of my business. I'm not going to get involved. He could have had a good reason. He passed by on the other side. And then it says, likewise, a Levite, the tribe of Levi. A Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. And he too could have had excuses. He said, well, you know, I've got some really important things I've got to attend to today. They're counting on me. And you know how it is when people are counting on you and you're working against a deadline. You don't want to fail them. You don't want to mess up. So I have no time for this. I know it's going to be more. I can already see this guy is hurting. It's going to be more. There's going to be more involvement than what I'm willing to commit to. In fact, I don't have the time for it. And so he passes on the other side of the road. See, you could ask, well, what caused these religious men to ignore the man in need? And I think it's interesting that Jesus uses these examples. They were religious men. They were people who were involved. They weren't just anybody. They were people who were involved in religion, and you would think that if there's going to be a place of compassion, it ought to be amongst those who are religious. But what they felt was more expedient. And they felt it was more expedient, but really, what they thought was expedient fell short of this opportunity to show the compassion of God. And then you get to the Samaritan, and to those of you who have studied the passage and you know about the Samaritans, they were people that were really despised by most religious Jews. In fact, many wouldn't eat with them. They wouldn't have anything to do with them. They saw them as defiling religious law and practice. And so they were kind of outcasts in a way. They were people that were not welcomed in many circles. And so a Samaritan is walking along the same path and says, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, interesting thing is, immediately he felt compassion. Sometimes divine interruptions and the way we handle them come right back to this one thing. It's, do we have a sense of compassion? Do we see the situation the Lord sees the situation? Sometimes use that phrase, we need to see people through the eyes of Jesus. We need to see situations through the eyes of our Lord. I have a feeling that Jesus sees things a little bit differently than the way we see them. I don't think we have the same understanding. I think we see things from a different angle oftentimes than the way our Lord sees it. And perhaps that's what's going on here. He says, he saw this man, he felt compassion, and he came to him. And what did he do? Immediately he tried to do something. He didn't wait around for the EMTs, the ambulance to arrive, you know. He felt that he had to do something. He bandaged up his wounds, he poured oil and wine on them, he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. I'll tell you, that's when you know someone's really committed, is when they reach into their pocket and lay it on the line, you know. Some people say, well, I'll help to whatever I get, but boy, they'll hang on to their cash. You see, you really find out a lot about people when you find out where they put their money. That reveals more about a person's character and what they're like than a lot of people realize. It's not so much with their position and other things. It's what do you do with your money? Where do you invest? Scripture says, lay up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Thieves can't break in and steal it. That's where you ought to put your treasure. In other words, invest in the things of God to the best of your ability. Underwrite the work of the Lord. Get involved in the work of the Lord. Do things that will have lasting value. And this fella, obviously, that wasn't even a consideration. He as far as himself was concerned, he said, this man's in need. I'll take care of all the costs. Don't worry about it. Send the bill to me. I'll pay it. Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. That was a commitment he made. And based on his actions of what he had done to this point, I believe he was good for it. David Roper, he's been a pastor for over 30 years. He directs a ministry out in Idaho and a retreat center. In one of his, he's written several books, and in one of them he says, who is my neighbor? I ask, and then Jesus answers, the person in need I'm sending your way. Who is my neighbor? I ask. Jesus answered, the person in need I'm sending your way. It's rather profound, isn't it? Well, notice Christ's commendation going back to the Good Samaritan. In verse 36 of Chapter 10 in Luke, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Essentially, Jesus was saying, there are going to be times in your life when everything's going just fine. Everything's working just the way you want. And you're moving right along. And then all of a sudden, it's unplanned, unexpected, unknown to you. All of a sudden, there's an interruption. But it's a divine interruption. What are you supposed to do about it? God is saying, don't ignore it. Just like the Good Samaritan did not ignore it. He could have done it, and he might have had maybe an excuse that would have seemed to be okay, just like the priest and the Levite had, and they had their excuses, and I'm sure their friends would have said, well, you know, you can't be everything to everybody. Sometimes you just gotta take care of yourself. You know, how often have I heard of people say, well, sometimes I just gotta take care of myself. You know how it is. I just gotta protect me. I mean, who's looking out for number one? Somebody's gotta do it. So, you know, I can't be everything to everybody. What do you expect? And I'm sure there would have been some friends that would have gone, chimed right in and said, you're right, you know, you're absolutely right. It's a shame, it happens, but, you know, if it's not him, it's going to be someone else by the side of the road somewhere. It's going to be some beggar. Who knows what it's going to be? You just cannot do all this. I mean, and there they are talking together, but there was one man, a Samaritan, who saw that man the way Jesus saw him. And when divine interruptions come your way, then do something. Do something. An early Christian writer, Jean-Pierre de Caussade, he was a priest in the 18th century, a Jesuit priest. He spent years as a preacher in southern and central France, and he's known for his work entitled Abandonment to Divine Providence. It's also translated as the sacrament of the present moment. The interesting thing about this man, he was very devout in his faith. And he said this, he said, love is the duty of the present moment. Love is the duty of the present moment. He preached that one should welcome whatever was given in the present moment as flowing directly from God, He saw this as like a sacrament. In fact, at the time, it was such a revolutionary idea, it didn't sit well with some of the authorities in the church. And so for a while, his writings, they weren't even circulated or anything. He would preach, but his writings were kept undercover, so to speak. They didn't want this to get out because some didn't feel it just, it didn't sit just right with some folks. He said, one should welcome whatever was given in the present moment as flowing directly from God. No matter what else we may have planned, love is our duty. That's what he said. He says we're supposed to have love. We're supposed to have the love of God. How do you win over a world that's steeped in sin, separated from God? Well, the one thing that will last for time and eternity is love, divine love, as it's revealed in you. That's love, love that we have. Love conquers all. In his years of meditation and contemplation that he devoted himself and drawing close to God, he said, that's the one thing. What is our responsibility? Well, our responsibility then is to love people the way God loves them. What do you do with those divine interruptions? You stop, you take notice, and then you do something. You just don't ignore it. You just don't blow it off. You do something. Little poem says, Lord, if I'm feeling rushed today, I need your eyes to help me see that when an interruption comes, it is an opportunity. We need to realize that what we see as interruptions are often really divine appointments for ministry and good works that are part of God's plan for our lives. What is God's plan for my life? Can you see God in the interruptions of life? It may be that that's what's really the plan of God for you. Would you bow your head in prayer? I think all of us could say, Lord, there are times when we failed you in this area of life. Being human as we are, we don't regard interruptions as being beneficial or good for us. In fact, Lord, oftentimes we see them as somehow preventing us from fulfilling what we're supposed to be doing. And the frustration that results creates oftentimes aggravation towards those things that interrupt us. And we sometimes maybe have missed God. And I'm not saying that every interruption in life is God ordained. But I do know that the word declares that the steps of a righteous and good man, they are ordered of the Lord. And I do believe that sometimes there are those moments, those divine interruptions that God has ordained, that God has set before us, that God has allowed to come into our lives. Those are special. And God is trying to get our attention. And he's saying to us, you're looking for a way to be used effectively in my kingdom. You're looking for a way that the kingdom of God can be blessed. Here's a way, right here and now. Don't miss it. Don't let it go by. Treasure this moment. Treasure this opportunity. Because the kingdom of God awaits an answer from you. You may be here this morning, and it's not that you've transgressed or you failed the Lord in many ways. I'm speaking perhaps to Christians mostly here in this place. But you would say, you know, Pastor, there are those moments. And from hindsight, I've wondered what might have been the outcome had I done something instead of what I did. Something different. What if I had seen that as an opportunity for God? Today, maybe the Lord is impressing upon somebody to say, Lord, help my eyes to be opened. Help my spirit to be such that my life is filled with your love and I will respond. That when interruptions come, I will immediately look to you to discern and determine, God, is this a divine interruption? And if so, Lord, that you would impress upon me the urgency of the moment, that I might minister as you would have me minister, that I might redeem the time at that proper moment for your sake. Anybody like that here? You just say to the Lord, I'm going to raise my hand, Lord, as an indication that I've heard what you're saying. Just slip it up and down, I don't know what you mean. You know, if God's speaking to you, you know. You know. And I would say to you today, follow through on what the voice of God is saying to your spirit, to your soul. There is a life of excitement and joy that awaits you. For the demoniac, it was deliverance. Demons were cast out. His life was cleansed in a moment because Jesus took the time. For Jairus' request, his child was healed. For the woman with that issue of blood, and she experienced instantaneous healing in a moment of time. For those who were hungry and thirsty, Jesus seized upon the opportunity and multiplied the fish, the loaves of bread, and fed the hungry. And the man left dying by the wayside, the Samaritan stands as the example for us to take time to do something that is righteous and good and noble, to make a difference in our world. Because if the church will do that, that's how the world will change. If we will act not as the world acts and reacts, but if we choose to act differently and respond with Christ's love, that's how we can change the world. For Jesus' sake. Lord, you see the hands that have been raised. You know the hearts of your people. And in this sacred moment, there's a commitment that's being made. We're saying, oh Lord, we're not going to look at life in quite the same way when it comes to those distracting things that come upon us. We will attune our hearts to you and allow ourselves to feel your presence. We will seek your divine direction. And if in fact it is a divine interruption, we will respond, not as the world would respond. We will respond as you would have us respond. Because every time there is a divine interruption, it always demands a response. Help us to respond in such a way that Jesus Christ would be lifted up, that the kingdom of God would receive the glory. We commit ourselves, Lord, to seeing the world as you see it, by your divine grace. In your name we pray. Amen. ready to face this week and do something positive for the Lord? Huh? Yeah. People in the office, some of you that work in offices, you perhaps don't know how many eyes are on you if they know you're a Christian. They should know you're a Christian. We have too many closet Christians. They need to be brought out of the closet. But you don't know how many eyes are upon you. And they look at you, and they hear the things you say, the jokes you tell, the way you react. And perhaps God will give you some of those divine interruptions this week in the office atmosphere. You can respond in such a way that would lift Jesus higher. It'll lift him up. You can do that. Or you can choose to cave in to your own sense of frustration and aggravation and do nothing and miss an opportunity that God has provided. Decision's up to you. That's the wonderful thing about it. God doesn't force himself on you, you know. Sometimes we wish he would. He doesn't tackle us, you know, and pounce us and pummel us and want us to try to get us to say uncle or anything like that. He doesn't do that. He may convict us. But ultimately, you make the decision. You determine. Okay, Lord, I'm going to see this through your eyes. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do this differently than what I initially was going to do it. I'm not going to do that because I know that would be carnal and it wouldn't help the cause of Christ. I'm going to do the right thing. You make the decision. And you know what? One day we'll stand before the Lord. And nobody will have a valid excuse because the way God planned it, you make the decisions. So when we stand before God, if we are found wanting, it's not because of him. It's because we made the wrong decision. One day we'll stand before the Lord to give account. I want to stand before my Lord and I want to make the right decisions. I don't want to be there wanting to blame somebody else or situations. I want to say, Lord, I did the best I could for the moment. I tried to lift your name and I tried to minister in Christian love. With every opportunity, with every divine interruption, I chose to see it as you would see it, to open the door of my heart to the possibility this is an opportunity. This is not something to keep me back. This is not something to hurt or harm me. This is an opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to do something that's really worthwhile. Hear me today. There are a lot of Christians, and they're good people, but they've done very little on a regular basis for the kingdom of God. Most of the stuff they're doing is not for the kingdom of God, it's for the kingdom of self. And they're Christians. They love Jesus. They've made a commitment to Christ. But they're not living their lives for Jesus. Almost every decision they make is for self. We need the people of God to make decisions based upon what does God want? What does he want me to do? What is right and just for the sake of his kingdom? That's the way I want to make decisions. That's the way I want to view those divine interruptions. So that someday I'll be gone. But hopefully somebody will say, you know, I knew he always tried to do what was right. I knew he always tried to do what would make a difference in people's lives. Whether or not people like me or not, that's not my concern. My concern, finally, is does God look upon me with divine favor? Does he look at me and does he say, well done? That's all that matters. Would you stand as we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are, for how you have revealed yourself to us. And we admit that there are times when we make mistakes, and sometimes we're uncertain as to what is of God, what isn't. And sometimes we have gone on paths that have not led us to where we ought to be. They've been distractions. And what you're all about, God, is to get us on the path that leads to eternal life and to show others the way. And Jesus, we ask you today, Lord, help us. Help us to discern between that which is superficial and non-essential and those things that are divinely inspired, and those things that will build up the kingdom of God. And may we invest our time and our energy in those things, that your kingdom would be established in such a way that Jesus Christ would be honored. As we prepare to leave this place, oh God, I ask that your divine protection and hand of blessing might be upon your people. May this be a very fruitful week. And may your people respond in Christian love to the opportunities that you grant them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. So I